Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Joining us today also is our friend Rob Bowman from the Institute for Religious Research, IRR.org, a good organization that's out of Michigan. And Rob is visiting with us today, and we have been talking about for the past couple of shows about the reliability of the Bible, because as we see many Latter-day Saints coming to what we call a crisis of faith when they start realizing that the foundations of Mormonism are starting to crumble in their eyes, they need a place to turn. Unfortunately, the well of the Bible has been poisoned to a certain extent because of Article 8, which states that they believe the Bible as far as it is translated correctly. And as we have explained, many times this is understood to really mean in the mind of the Latter-day Saint that the Bible has not been transmitted accurately over the years. So even though we may have a good translation, it's a good translation of a bad text. And that's kind of how they look at the Bible. Many times because they do not have a favorable view of the biblical text, they tend to want to ignore it. But as Christians, really, we need to get them to be looking at it even more than they probably did before, because it's the Bible that has that message of life. It's that Bible that we feel accurately depicts who Jesus is and how salvation is wrought. And so we need to be able to convince the Mormon, don't throw the Bible out yet, look at it. So we're looking at some of the reasons why. And you've already given several, but what else can we discuss with our Mormon friends?
Once it's understood that the text of the Bible has come down to us intact and that we actually have copies of the ancient Hebrew and Greek texts that reliably represent what was originally written, and we talked about that last time, then we can look at the actual contents of the book. Because obviously the fact that a book has come down to us intact doesn't make it true or make it inspired or make it even historical. In fact, the historicity, the historical character of the Bible is well demonstrated. Now, obviously, we could talk about all kinds of specific issues where historians are, you know, arguing about this and that, but let's get the big picture first. Let's, for example, compare the geographies of the Bible with the Book of Mormon. In the case of the Bible, there are numerous rivers, seas, lands, cities, various kinds of places, even buildings that have always been public knowledge. We've always known where they were. We've always been able to go and look at them. Nobody disputes where the Jordan River is or the Sea of Galilee. We know where Macedonia is. We know where Greece is. We know where Rome is. We know in some cases the precise spot within a few feet where various events took place in Jerusalem. It's really remarkable how much information that we have. The reason why that is because Jerusalem has been in a continuous existence and had been known since biblical times, and there's been no problem in being able to identify specific locations. For example, the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, which is a remnant of the temple that was destroyed in AD 70. You can go and touch it. It's 2,000 years old. It's that kind of physical, tangible, concrete connection with the Bible that you have with that physical geographical evidence. On the other hand, there are no geographical references in the Book of Mormon that are reliable outside those two things that are already in the Bible in the Old World. All the New World locations are unknown. Even Mormons hotly dispute among themselves where to locate the Book of Mormon narrative. Did it take place in the Great Lakes region? Did it take place in Mesoamerica? Did it take place in Baja, California? I've even seen that. Proposed locations for the main Book of Mormon lands differ by thousands of miles. And no non-Mormon scholar thinks that Zarahemla or Bountiful or these other locations refer to actual physical places. Even the most hardened skeptics of the Bible agree that Egypt and Assyria and Babylon and Persia and Greece and Rome all existed. that what the Bible says about them corresponds with the historical realities of those major political and military powers. We know who Nebuchadnezzar was, Cyrus, Caesar Augustus, Herod the Great, Pontius Pilate. These are all figures of history. No serious historian questions the existence of Isaiah or Jeremiah or other figures very specific to the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, John the Baptist, Jesus, and Paul. These are real people. Historians who are not Christians have no problem acknowledging that these people are real. Then you ask them about Lehi, Nephi, and Alma, and it's a different situation. No non-Mormon historian thinks those people existed at all. There's no reason to think that they did. People say, and a lot of Mormons will raise the question, well, don't non-Christian scholars question a lot of things in the Bible? And of course the answer is yes, they do. But what kinds of things do they question? They don't question the historicity of basic narratives of military powers and battles and kings and so forth. They question miracles, the Exodus miracles, Jesus' resurrection. They question whether prophets could really predict things ahead of time. So if the prophets predict something ahead of time, they date that text after the event instead of before. They do not question the basic historical antiquity of the Bible in the same way that every non-Mormon historian questions that of the Book of Mormon. The other thing that I think people need to understand about the Bible as compared to the Book of Mormon and the Book of Abraham is that the Bible lacks what I would describe as the characteristic signs of fraud, that is, of deliberate deception. Here's an easy example. In biblical narratives, people have often noticed this, the writers almost never say anything about themselves. They do not make a big deal about who they are. In fact, they usually don't even tell us who they are. We have no idea who actually wrote most of those books. Now, we could make surmises or guesses. In the case of many Old Testament books, that would be all we have. In the case of the New Testament, we know something about who the authors are that don't identify themselves, only because Christians at the end of the first century and early second century knew them personally and passed on their names to us. Of course, Paul identifies himself by name in his 13 epistles. That's the exception. Other than those 13 epistles, most of the books of the Old and New Testaments, the authors do not identify themselves by name, and they certainly don't trumpet who they are and talk about what good people they are and how God did this for them and how wonderful they are. When you go to the apocryphal Gospels, the early 2nd century to 3rd century writings that purported to be stories about Jesus, these apocryphal Gospels all have names attached to them. They all claim to be written by somebody important. So there's a Gospel of Mary, and a Gospel of Peter, and a Gospel of Thomas, and even a Gospel of Judas. Kind of funny about that one. It's a characteristic mark of apocryphal works like this, that the authors know they can't speak for the church, they can't speak for Christ, so they claim to be somebody they're not. Well, consistent with that, the Book of Mormon strongly emphasizes that each part of it was written by a prophet whose name is given, and the first words of the Book of Mormon are, I, Nephi. I mean, that's just so unlike anything that you find in the Bible. The Book of Abraham, of course, is supposed to be written by Abraham, and he makes a big deal about how it was written, you know, on papyrus by his own hand. Nobody in the Old Testament talks that way about their writings. So that's a characteristic mark of fraud. Another example of this mark of fraud would be egregious anachronisms. An anachronism is something that just doesn't fit in the place and time that it's mentioned. For example, if somebody referred to John F. Kennedy typing on his laptop while he was on Air Force One, that would be a huge anachronism. Or Leonardo da Vinci eating a peanut butter sandwich. Okay, that just doesn't fit, right? Mm-hmm. And those are supposed to be funny, especially the second one, and I hope they are. But anyway,
you got Bill to laugh.
I got Bill to laugh. The Bible doesn't have those kinds of anachronisms. The Book of Mormon does, and the Book of Abraham does. And in fact, recently, the Mormon Church, without meaning to, acknowledged that the Book of Abraham and the Book of Moses, by the way, which is a revision of early chapters of Genesis as well, has an anachronism. Because the Mormon Church recently came out with a statement, which I know that you've discussed at length, called On Race and the Priesthood, in which they attributed the idea of the curse of Cain to 18th century Anglo-American white racists. And they're right. The problem is that idea is in the Book of Abraham. So that is an example of an anachronism, an idea that doesn't fit in the time and context in which it appears. Mm-hmm. So that's a second indicator of fraud. And then finally, on this issue of fraud, the Bible addresses issues of the day of the authors that they were in which they were writing, in their culture, in their place, their time. As we read them 2,000 or more years later, we have to do something that's called interpretation, where we have to ask, how would this apply to us 2,000 years later who live in a different culture? You don't have that problem with the Book of Mormon, because the Book of Mormon was written in the 19th century for the 19th century. So the bad guys in the Book of Mormon are Unitarians and Universalists and agnostics and atheists and people that were unbelievers from a Christian point of view in the 19th century. The 19th century Book of Mormon addresses issues like the age of accountability and infant baptism. Ironically, the Book of Mormon does not address issues that show up in the late 19th century or the 20th century. So it doesn't talk about evolution. It doesn't talk about abortion. It doesn't talk about genetic engineering and those kinds of issues. It only addresses the modern issues that were live issues in Joseph Smith's day in the late 1820s. That's a definite clear sign of anachronism and a sign of fraud. You don't have those kinds of things with the Bible. So you can trust the Bible because it doesn't have those kinds of indicators of fraud, whereas, unfortunately, the Book of Mormon and the Book of Abraham, and as I mentioned, the Book of Moses also do have those fraud marks on them.
I don't mean to blindside you, but if I was to ask you, what do you think would be a good book for a Mormon who is wanting to know about some of this information that we've covered here? What would be a good book that might help them establish a more firm faith in the Bible?
As a place to start, and a book that's very easy to read, I'm going to go out on a limb here and recommend one that I co-authored. It's called 20 Compelling Evidences That God Exists. It includes very basic short chapters on the reliability of the text of the Bible, on the historical character of the Bible, and on the basic foundational truths of the Bible, especially with regards to the death and resurrection of Christ.
And that would be a good place to start, and we hope that if you're having questions of that nature, that you will certainly look that book up and hopefully give it a good read.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, known as the Mormon Church, is a huge topic of interest among many Bible-believing Christians who want to reach their LDS loved ones or friends with the biblical message of hope and grace. If you're a Christian who wants to be better informed about the beliefs of the Mormon people, Mormonism Research Ministry wants to be a resource for you. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has worked hard to clearly articulate Mormon doctrine and history in order to better understand the issues that separate Mormonism from the Christian faith. At MRM.org, we have links to an active blog site, as well as dozens of articles and videos that will help educate you on this fascinating topic. Should your church need a live presentation, we can do that too. Contact MRM to schedule one of our PowerPoint presentations at MRM.org or call our office at 801-572-2153. That's 801-572-2153. Let MRM help you become a confident ambassador for Christ.